Hello everyone, and welcome to the Cold-Bun's Earnings Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and we will conduct a question-and-answer session towards the end of this call. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please signal your line by pressing star followed by zero so that I may assist you. As a reminder, this call is being recorded for replay purposes. And I would now like to turn the call over to Chief Financial Officer, Sebastián Moraga. You may proceed.
In conference call. My name is Sebastián Moraga, and I am the CFO of the company, and joining me today is Miguel Alarcón, our Head of Investor Relations, and María Elena Palma, also member of the investor team. I hope that you have received our second quarter press release and our results review presentation that we have prepared to complement the analysis of our figures. Otherwise, you can download them in the investor section of our website. Agenda for today is as follows. We will begin talking about the relevant highlights of the quarter, to then analyze in detail the quarter's results. After that, we will give you an update on recent events and our growth opportunities. Following the presentation, there will be time to participate in a Q&A session, and questions will be accepted in either English or Spanish. Now, please go to slide number three to review some highlights of this quarter. First, revenues for second quarter of 2015 totaled $359 million, down by 12% compared to last quarter, the second quarter of 2014. This reduction is mainly explained by lower income from customers under contract, both regulated and free clients, partially offset by higher sales of energy and power in the spot market. Second quarter of 2015 posted an EBITDA of $136 million, lower than the $141 million recorded in the second quarter of 2014. Although this quarter showed unfavorable hydrological conditions, which resulted in lower hydro generation, it was largely offset by higher thermal generation with natural gas at a competitive cost. Average thermal generation cost decreased by 30% compared to the same quarter of last year. Third, hydro generation during the second quarter of this year was 16% lower than same quarter of last year. Although the availability of the hydro power plants was 90% and in line with the second quarter of last year, the drop reflects lower rainfalls during the quarter. Fourth, the company was able to meet 73% of its commercial commitments with baseload capacity, hydro and coal, lower than the 78% figure posted in same quarter of last year. The remaining commitments were supplied with natural gas generation. Considering the terms negotiated by the company of current gas supply agreements, this source of fuel represents a cost-efficient generation source. Both quarters under review show an appropriate commercial policy in terms of contractual commitments versus efficient generation output. Net income of $50 million registered in this quarter negatively compares with the $72 million profit of same quarter of last year. The decrease is explained by a lower EBITDA, higher non-operating costs, and higher tax expense. Finally, financial investments reached $913 million at the end of this quarter. Net debt decreased to $965 million from net debt over $1.3 billion at the same period last year. Now, I will turn to María Elena, who will speak about the main drivers of last quarter's results and overview.
Thank you, Sebastián, and hello to everyone. Please move to slide number 5 for a review of the main financial figures of this quarter, starting with a physical sales and generation balance analysis. I would like to start by saying that overall, this quarter compared to the same quarter last year had lower power demand from customers under contract, but they were partially offset by higher sales to the spot market. Also, sales were supplied with lower hydro generation, explained by lower rainfall during the quarter. This reduction of hydroelectricity was largely offset by higher thermal generation with natural gas at a competitive cost. Energy sales volume to customers under power purchase agreements during this quarter reached 2,823 gigawatt hour, 6% lower than the same period of the previous year, mainly explained by the expiry of two contracts. First, the CONAFE contract in April this year, and second, the COELCO backup contract in December last year, which was partially compensated by new contracts with COELCO that began in January of this year. It is worth noting that CONAFE was the last outstanding short-term price-regulated customer under the old pricing mechanism. With this maturity, the company has now a fully renovated portfolio of contracts, all which include appropriate indexation clauses. Colbún recorded net sales in the spot market of almost 500 GWh, 15% higher than the second quarter of last year. A portion of these sales were deducted from sales to free customers as a result of certain conditions incorporated in the new commercial agreement with COELCO. The power generation breakdown during this quarter was characterized by lower hydroelectric generation due to low rainfalls, which were largely offset by higher thermal generation with natural gas at a competitive cost. Coal-fired generation during the quarter was 3% down than in the same quarter of last year, although in the first half of this year, total coal output has been higher than as of last year, reaffirming the solid operation of our Santa Maria power plant. Diesel production decreased 56% compared to the second quarter 2014. Although there was lower hydroelectric generation both in Colbún and in the SIC, it was replaced by other technologies, mainly natural gas and non-conventional renewable energy, so less diesel generation was required. In summary, the generation mix of this quarter allowed 73% of the company's commercial commitments to be supplied with efficient energy, hydroelectricity, and coal. The remaining commitments were met with natural gas generation. Finally, no spot market purchases were made during both quarters under revision. Now, please continue to slide number 6 to analyze EBITDA for the second quarter. First, revenues for second quarter 2015 totaled $359 million, decreasing 12% compared to the second quarter of last year. The main reasons are two. First, lower sales volumes due to the termination of the two contracts mentioned before, CONAFE in April this year and CODELCO in December of last year. Second, lower sale price to free customers, mostly explained by the expiration of the CODELCO backup contract, which was at spot price and was replaced by another contract with the same price but at a long-term price. Then, raw materials and consumable use total almost $200 million, a decrease of 18% compared to the same period of last year, mainly explained by lower fuel costs. Average thermal generation costs decreased by 30% compared to the same quarter last year in response of lower fuel international prices and improved commercial conditions of natural gas supply. Result, EBITDA for this quarter decreased 3%. However, EBITDA margin improved for this quarter, reaching 38%, which possibly compares to 35% in the same period of last year. Now, please move to slide number 7 for the non-operating income analysis. Non-operating income for this quarter recorded losses of $22 million, higher than the losses of $18 million in the second quarter 2014. Mainly given by higher financial expenses due to higher level of gross debt and other compensatory effects in a lesser amount. Now, moving into slide number 8. The company recorded during this quarter a profit of $50 million, a decrease when compared to the profit of $72 million in the second quarter of last year. Net income before tax during this quarter was $66 million, 15% down from the same period last year. The decrease is explained, as mentioned in the previous slide, due to a lower EBITDA and higher financial expenses. Income tax registered an expense of $15 million in the second quarter of this year, compared to the tax expense of $5 million in the second quarter of last year. The tax expense in this quarter is mainly explained by two things. First, a 2% depreciation of the exchange rate, Chilean pesos to US dollars, affecting the calculation of deferred income tax, given that both fixed asset and tax losses are stated in Chilean pesos. And secondly, the tax expense increased due to an increase in corporate tax due to the tax reform enacted in September of last year. Now, please go to slide number 10 to review some recent events. The first one is the divestiture process of the 57% of Isagen held by the Colombia government, in which Colbún was one of the three pre-qualified bidders in the final round. That process was suspended on May 15th. The timing and terms of the sales in case of reactivation are unknown. Then, in May, Standard & Poor's revised Colbún's outlook from negative to stable on a BBB- international rating. The main rationale behind this decision is explained by a sustained improvement in the results of the company and its financial metrics based primarily on three things. One, the remarkable commissioning of the Angostura plant. Two, the reliable operation of the Santa Maria coal facility. And three, the ample access to natural gas at a competitive cost. The last recent event was in July. A new natural gas supply contract with Metrogas was signed and will allow the company to have an additional volume of natural gas for the August to October period of this year. The volume will enable to generate approximately the equivalent of 1.5 months of operation of a CCGT and will be distributed during the 3 months allotted. Now, continuing with this conference call, please go to slide number 12, where Miguel will give you an update on the status of our growth opportunity.
Thank you, Marilena, and good afternoon to everyone. As was mentioned before, we are searching for growth opportunities in Chile and other countries in the region, such as Colombia and Peru, in order to maintain a significant position in the power generation business and diversify our sources of income. Besides the Isagen process aforementioned, we are currently analyzing other alternatives, both in Colombia and in Peru, in terms of generation technology and size, that they will timely communicate to the market in case they materialize. Now, in terms of our projects, in slide number 13, we announced in December of last year the construction of La Mina projects. The construction and commissioning of the project is expected to last around 26 months, therefore starting commercial operations in 2017. Estimated CAPEX is around $130 million. La Mina qualifies as a non-conventional mini hydropower plant, which contributes to Colbún's obligation to comply with Law 2025 renewable requirements. During the first half of this year, excavation and supports over the drop zone started and attaching and restoring channel began construction. The Maule River was diverted in order to build the cofferdam protection and so to begin excavation of the intake and mobile barrier. The progress of construction at the end of June of this year is according to schedule. Now, moving forward to slide 14, about the San Pedro Hydroelectric Project of around 170 megawatts of installed capacity, as we've said before, during last year, all the necessary geological and technical studies needed to define the adjustments required by the engineering of the project concluded. Therefore, in June of this year, these adjustments were submitted to environmental impact assessment to the Environmental Impact Service in Los Ríos region. In parallel, we continue with the consultation process of the project through meetings with municipalities, communities, neighborhood, and regional authorities, among other stakeholders. In terms of the project adjustments, it is important to note three things. First, that the dam kept its original height and location. Second, that the reservoir size remains the same. and finally that there's no alteration of the San Pedro River natural stream. Regarding the additional studies conducted between 2011 and 2014, almost 9 kilometers of drilling works were made and more than 10 international experts participated, including engineers and geologists from the US, New Zealand, Switzerland, and Germany, who concluded that the rock existing at the site where the dam will be built is of good quality and suitable to conduct this type of works. In addition, major works defined in the Resolución de Calificación Ambiental of the projects were completed and submitted to the municipalities of Los Lagos and Panguipulli, such as the lakeside beach campsite in Reñihue and the Tourist Information Center of Panguipulli, demonstrating the project's commitment with its neighbor communities. Regarding our coal-fired Santa Maria II thermoelectric project of 350 megawatts of installed capacity, the company is analyzing the social, economic, and commercial dimensions of the project to timely start its development. With this, we conclude our second quarter of this year results review. Thank you for listening, and now we're open to answer your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you can press star 1 on your phone. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. I will pause momentarily to wait for a question coming to queue. We do not have any questions in queue at this time. Oh, we do have a question coming from Nicholas Schultz. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning, Sebastián and Maria Elena. How are you? And my question is regarding the next milestones we should expect for ISAGEN, the process, and if you think in the next quarter, on the next two quarters, we should see some reopening on the auction process. And also, my second question is if you could give us some guidance on what should be the long-term non-regulated prices as an average, with all the ramp up of Codelco project, without seeing that distortion. And finally, if you could give some priorities to all your capex plan or your investment plan for the next year, how would you prioritize this? Thank you.
Hi, Nicolas. This is Sebastián. Regarding ISAGEN, public inform, the sale was suspended on May. Unfortunately, the terms and conditions to reactivate the process are unknown. Formally, we have nothing new to let you know. As soon as we get a formal information from the Colombian government, for sure we'll let you know. Regarding the second question, could you please repeat? Because I wrote down long-term non-regulated prices.
If you could give us some guidance on how or where should be at what price should be the non-regulated prices, without including this distortion in Codelco contract that artificially lowers the price.
As we have said in the past, we look at our PPA as a portfolio as a whole, and we have always stated that the average price of this portfolio is around $90 to $100 per megawatt hour. So I could give you that price range today, which I believe is still valid. And regarding the third question, regarding priorities of CAPEX, well, obviously the La Mina is under construction, and then there are two projects in Chile which are currently approved, which is, first of all, is the coal-fired plant unit of Santa Maria II, and the other one is San Pedro, which we gave some guidance on the status of this project. And on international area, besides ISAGEN, well, we have the philosophy to look at all the opportunities that are in the countries we have highlighted as our target, which is obviously Colombia and Peru. But we cannot, unfortunately, give further information on that, since these are binded by non-disclosure agreements.
And do you think that the social dilation process in Coronel should be ready by the time of the next regulated auction?
I cannot answer that. We have made some obviously some advances there, but I don't know. I'm not sure if these dates will match.
Okay, thank you.
There are no other questions. We just had another question come through, coming from the line of Rodrigo Mora. Your line is open.
Hi, Sebastian. My question is related to Santa Maria second project. This time, the project was not included in the presentation. Should I suppose that this project is the second alternative and the first project that the company will build in Chile will be a San Pedro project?
Rodrigo, hi. The fact that we did not include it in the presentation is basically because since this is a short presentation, we try to highlight the projects that have relevant new news. Santa Maria is still in our pipeline, so the fact that it is not in the presentation does not mean anything that this project has been in any case modified or delayed in our pipeline. We did not include it in this brief presentation, but it's in our financial statements, it's in our recent analysis, it's in our press release. So it's still a completely valid option project, as we have been mentioning all these last quarters.
Okay, thank you for the clarification. Okay.
I would like to prompt again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press *1. And there are no further questions.
Okay, so thank you very much for sharing with us this second quarter results, and we hope to be talking to you when we publish our third quarter figures. So good afternoon to everyone, and have a nice week. Bye-bye.